Salty's not exactly your forte, is it?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 23, True Love. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara.
Hello.
Hello, listeners. This is the moment that we have all been waiting for literally since the beginning of time, so I will get right to it. There is no Again With This Friday, since May has five Fridays, but Again With This number 242 is coming Friday, June 6th. Let's watch Alyssa Milano in Casualties of Love, The Long Island Lolita Story. Mm-hmm. It is on Tubi, at least for now. We'll link it in the show notes. But we do hope that you join us for that.
We sure do. And we also want to add, if you follow us at the $5 level and up, you will get a bonus episode this Thursday, May 29th. That's going to be the May edition of Again With Them. And if you will recall, we already covered one May episode that was stuck on to the end of the April episode. As of this recording, which is Tuesday, May 20th, they still have only dropped one more episode in May. And next Monday is Memorial Day, so it's possible the May edition of Again With Them might be a little slimmer than you're used to, but if that's the case, we'll figure out some way to make it worth your while, even if they have lain down on the job.
I bet they find some way to torture us with like two interviews with actors that no one asked for.
Well, now that you've said that, that will definitely happen. So there we go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Spoke it into being. Sorry / you're welcome. And speaking of speaking, if you are listening to this the day it comes out, you still have a few hours left to get us your voicemails for our next call-in episode, but it's only a few hours. So if you haven't done that yet, please call us 210-767-2237 or record a voice note and email it to us at hello@againwiththispodcast.com. We love hearing from you. A bunch of your fellow listeners have already submitted. Mm-hmm. There's room for everyone. Please do it. 210-767-2237.
Hell yeah. All right, let's get to it. Opening this episode with this year on Dawson's Creek takes us all the way back to the season premiere. It's all set to Jealous by Sinead O'Connor, which comes up again in the episode later. A song so good, it makes me a little bit mad that the likes of Dawson gets to have it playing under a montage of him.
Him Dawsoning? Yeah, I was not even a little mad. Yeah.
Well, let's start with our B-plot. Grams makes both her teen boarders, current and past, deal with their crushes. We open with Jen and Jack on the last day of school cleaning out their lockers. Jen is holding an issue of InStyle so fat it makes me want to cry, especially since it's just like a random April issue. Like, not even a March Vogue is that thick anymore, and InStyle is no longer publishing a print version, and all of this makes me sad. We used to be a proper country.
I know. I miss it.
I do too. Jen comments on her and Jack being together again as president and VP of the Bitter Club. Jack denies that he is bitter, but Jen recaps how his prom night ended as proof that he couldn't possibly not be. And that's when she looks up and sees Henry drifting through the halls. And his hair, paleness, and gauntness are all extremely goth-coded, so it's kind of hilarious. He is in the orangest plain t-shirt in the world. Like safety orange and nearly below the knee length jorts. It's such an incongruous pairing of like head and body. It really makes no sense.
Giant toaster sneakers. Like from the Adam's apple down, he is Brandon Walsh. It's terrifying.
So Jen quietly asks Jack to tell Henry when he comes over that she meant everything she said and didn't change her mind, etc. And then Henry is there, loitering behind Jen, and Jack is not running interference. Clip two.
You realize how mature this is?
Yes, we do. It's been immature for weeks now. Please end it. Please.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, no TV show ever should have tried to do the, can you tell so-and-so who's sitting right there, whatever, after that Frasier episode that we talked about earlier this year with the book writing?
Yeah.
Frasier's in the room and Niles asks, can you please tell Frasier? And then Marty's like, what makes you think I know where he is? Standing right next to him. Like,
so good.
One of my favorite jokes ever. Anyway, Henry stands there glaring at Jen's back for a while, and then clip three.
Could you tell Jen that I left my copy of Siddhartha in her locker? I want it back.
Well, you better, because he doesn't know how to pronounce it. That might be a start. Actually reading it. But Jack continues refusing to play along when Henry insists. Clip four.
Hey, Jen, guess what? Henry's come over here with this ridiculously lame Siddhartha-related pretext because he's secretly hoping that you'll give him another chance.
Wait, that's not what I said.
Why don't you tell Henry that if he would like his book back, he should probably start digging?
Translation? She threw it away because it's a painful reminder of how much she regrets freaking out like a total drama queen and breaking up with you at the prom.
Okay, I'm not a drama queen, and I'm not the only one who totally freaked out.
Personal front. Must be the going rate for converting young lover subtext to text these days.
He's right, Jen. Neither of us is being very direct right now. So how's this? I'm sorry.
You know what, Henry? I'm sorry, too. I'm sorry that we ever met.
Same.
Henry mopes that he's not sorry, and doesn't Jen have anything else to say to him? She does not. Henry guesses that finishes that. God, wouldn't that be nice? I wish. I wish that
sure
could be
would.
Nice. So over at Pacey's modest going away party, which we'll get to, Grams is trying to wish on a star when Jen chips her tooth on a piece of crab shell, and clip five.
Just what I need to keep men permanently away from me. Well, if that doesn't work, you can always join me this summer in the nunnery.
Hey, at least you got to have relationships before they failed.
Good grief, you all sound like a bunch of old ladies.
Cramps, it's been a tough couple of months.
You don't know what tough is.
No offense, Cramps, but you have no idea what our lives are like.
She's with you all the time. She knows more than you do, probably.
I know. Although if she really knew what their lives were like, I'm not sure she would have consented to come to this little gathering, but...
Great point.
Yeah, but sigh.
That's when Grams tells them about what real problems are like, featuring the story of a man she met when she was working at Brunswick Naval Hospital. Just before he was about to ship out to Korea, they spent a magical day together, and at the end of it, he asked her to wait for him, and they almost kissed, but then they didn't. So the next day, she flew across the country, went to the dock, and kissed him in front of the whole crew of the USS Missouri. Jen says she never knew Gramps was in the Korean War, and Gramps says he wasn't. This story is about Thomas Culpepper, who died in shallow water in Busan before he even made it off the boat. 2 years later, Gramps married Gramps, so she had 46 wonderful years with one man and one perfect kiss with another, and no regrets, which she doesn't think any of the rest of them will be able to say about their own dumb lives. I'm paraphrasing, but honestly,
barely.
In the car later, Jen tells Grams she wishes she hadn't let Henry go without telling him how she feels, and now it's too late. Grams says it's never too late and bangs a Yui, knocking down a garbage bin as she tells Jen they're going to go find Henry's bus and tell him exactly how Jen feels. And I'll just preface this, what follows with, we've had mega days before. This is the mega day to end all mega days. I don't understand the geography of anything they do.
I don't either. I think the only way to make it work even a little is that maybe they caught the bus like in central Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But they had been driving. I mean, when they left, it was nighttime.
Yes.
And when they find the bus, it's daytime.
Yes. They've been driving all night, we're given to understand.
So they were probably not that far from Cleveland in the end. Like, what if they didn't catch the bus? Right. Would they just drive around yelling, like asking people, where's the nearest football camp?
I don't know. So yes, it's well into the next day when we rejoin them. The teens are whining that they could have missed the bus, but Graham says you can't miss a huge gray bus full of high school football players like that one right there parked at a rest area. Jen gets out and starts running around screaming Henry's full name, but he doesn't notice her until the driver prevents her from entering the men's room, which is when Jen sees Henry and runs over, and her entourage gathers to watch as we get this clip six.
9 months ago, you paid $500 to kiss me, and I was too dumb to realize what that meant, what you were really offering me, but I know now. It means that there really is such a thing as a second chance, and that no matter how old or how jaded you are, when you meet the person that you're supposed to be with, everything's going to be new. A sunset, a cheesy love song, and especially sex. Henry, I'm the reason that we didn't have sex after prom.
Trust me, I know.
Not because I was mad at you, but because I was more nervous than you were. I have been with guys before, but I have never been with anybody that I loved, and in that way, I'm more of a virgin than you could ever be.
Thanks a lot.
Come on, what do you care?
Well, that's all of his teammates, you dumbass. So, mm-hmm.
Well,
I love that one extra that the wild Mike picked up being like, oh my God. Like, exactly. Exactly, Kyle. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't even know if these are his teammates or like just other random kids who are going to the same football camp. Like, I didn't get the impression it was a school thing. And but regardless, this is their first impression of this kid, and like they probably assumed a ninth grader was a virgin anyway, but like he doesn't need to go into that having that confirmed. Now he's virgin for the rest of camp. But whatever.
It's true.
She grabs and kisses him and everyone celebrates except us. And as the bus pulls out later, Jen yells to Henry to come back in one piece, but he's going to come back in no piece. That's it. Series wrap on Michael Pitt. Goodbye.
Hallelujah.
And after Jack has told Jen she'll have to resign from the Bitter Club and Graham says how proud she is, Jen says they still have one more stop on the Carpe Diem road trip. Jack refuses to be next, but Jen ignores him and asks Graham the fastest route to Boston. And then it's brighter out when they get to Ethan's prep school than it was at the rest area. Like, the rest area looked like it was, like, you know, getting to be sunset or dusk, even, maybe. Mm-hmm. But whatever, Jack is bursting with excitement as he races up to a table where Ethan is sitting with some other kid. Ethan doesn't seem at all excited to see Jack there as he asks why he has arrived. And clip 7.
I just drove a really long way to tell you, more sort of to try and explain, really. No, I don't mean that. I want to show you. Okay, I want to show you that I can and that I'm not afraid to... Oh, hell, this. Jack.
No.
Hey, look, I know there's people around, but who cares, right? I mean, that's the whole point. I finally have the courage to do this.
Jack, this is Brad.
Is it your ex-boyfriend, Brad?
No. As in his boyfriend, Brad.
Ew.
The local hire, they got to play Brad. Okay, first of all of his lines are spoken when he is off screen. So I don't know if that was because he didn't realize when he took the part he was playing a gay kid, or if he was just really bad, or both, maybe. But it's curious, and I noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he
so
is.
Did I. He's just that big, potatoey offensive lineman looking dude.
Yes.
They're both wearing absolute sheets of Umbro style athletic wear. Mm-hmm. Again, with the orange, I don't know what was going on there. I guess they were having a sale at Modell's on extremely orange shit. It's also worth noting that this kiss is shot in such a way that you can't really see anything happening.
Yeah. But we're supposed to believe it happened. Brad, not so graciously, leaves them to talk things out, and Ethan haltingly explains that the timing was bad. Jack cuts him off before he can get into the details of his wonderful reunion with Brad. Ethan is sorry and shambles off forever, because this is a series wrap on Adam Kaufman as well. Jack, you can do better, and you will, but not quite yet. When Jack gets home, Joseph is in the kitchen, adorably excited to show Jack something, but Jack is too sad and shuffles off toward his bedroom. And clip 8.
Hey, you can talk to me.
This is something you really don't want to hear about, believe me.
You don't know that.
Really? You want to hear that I found out that Ethan got back together with his ex? You want to hear that I found that out after I kissed him?
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Come on, admit it. The thought of me kissing another guy disgusts you. I disgust you.
Hey, no, that is not true.
Yes, it is.
Look, you're angry. You're hurting right now, but I will not let you pick an argument with me just so you can vent your frustration.
Oh, no, I spent an entire year developing this relationship and working on it. Now it's a wash. The whole year is a wash. My whole life is a wash.
Your life is not a wash. you hurt now because you had the guts to put yourself out there, to go after what you wanted.
He's trying. He's doing really well.
Yes, I know. Especially, there's this moment where he sort of takes on board this information about Ethan, and you can see that he's like, I mean, he is struggling with it a little, but there is more than a flicker of, I'll kick that boy's ass.
There
and
it's is, like, yes.
That's what you want for your dad when that happens. Like,
yeah.
I may have told the story before, but I broke up with this guy, Steve. I mean, it's literally been a quarter of a century. We are friends. It is fine. But I call home to my parents and I'm like talking to my mom, and my dad is just sitting at the table sort of overhearing. And my mom hangs up and my dad says, so, you know, how's Wah doing? That's my nickname. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, fine. She's upset about Steve. And my dad said, I always liked that guy. And she's like, they broke up. And dad, without missing a beat, says, I never liked that guy. Like, this is what you want from your dad, is to just be like, I'm team you, fuck that kid. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a sweet moment. I'm not totally sure that we were supposed to get that from it, but that's what I got.
Yeah, I loved it. Well, the scene is not over. Jack has to remind us that Kerr Smith is not so good with the crying, as Jack folds himself into the corner of the kitchen, and clip nine.
I can't keep going through this. It's like having all the problems of a typical teenager, and then there's this whole other level of constant fear and pain. Do you know the anguish I went through over a kiss? One stupid little kiss. Most people don't have to do that.
You're right. They don't.
Then why me? I don't want to be different. I didn't ask to be gay.
No more than I asked for a gay son. But boy, am I glad I got one.
You don't mean that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. Angry.
I know. He's come such a long way. He crouches down on the floor to give Jack a hug. This episode is remembered for crying Dawson, and rightly so. But that is the best thing that ever happened to Kerr Smith, because his crying is it's really bad in this scene.
Yeah, it's very bad. And, you know, fortunately, his scene partner was able to shoulder that. So good for him.
And speaking of a scene partner, what was the thing Joseph was trying to show him at the start of the scene? We never find out.
I know. It really looked like that asteroid from Time Bandits. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like just a gnarled up little engine. Like, where was that going?
Yeah.
Well, that's on the deleted scenes.
He was so excited. We'll never know. But anyway.
No.
After this, Jack and Jen cross into the A-plot. We will see them there. And speaking of the A-plot, Mitch and Gail's remarriage for some reason has to get entangled in Joey's decision about Dawson and Pacey. We open in town, where Mitch exposits that, much like Jackie Taylor, Gail is kissing up to her bitchy blonde child by making his best friend the attendant in her latest wedding. The friend in question being Joey, of course.
Awful.
When the parents peel off, chit-chat about prep brings Joey to her unflattering bridesmaid's dress, and I don't know what she was trying on. The one from the wedding is fine, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson is sure she'll look amazing, and when she freezes at his compliment, he thanks her for doing this as though it's a favor she's doing for him. Joey says it was an honor when Gail asked her. Dawson, of course, immediately changes the subject back to himself, saying he couldn't imagine Joey not being part of the ceremony, despite anything it might stir up. And she interrupts to motormouth that it's important to his parents and won't change anything between the two of them, so what's to stir up, right? She then has to go add to her something borrowed with something blue. And he thinks that shouldn't be too hard. There's a lot of that going around these days. Bitch, you don't get to say that when the reason people are blue is you.
Is you.
After the credits, Doug is helping remind us all about Pacey's summer boat trip plans by saying he doesn't think it's a good idea. The problems Pacey thinks he's leaving behind will just seem bigger when Pacey's all alone. Doug asks about Joey, and Pacey says if she knows he's going, it wasn't from him. Doug asks if Joey knows how Pacey feels, and Pacey wearily says she does, because we all know, including her, I feel Pacey has been quite clear about it.
Yeah.
But annoyingly, Pacey has to act like he has not been clear, asking what Doug thinks would happen if he did spell things out for Joey. And Doug says maybe she would give him a reason to stay. Back to wedding prep. It's happening at the Leary house when Andy shows up to get Dawson to sign her yearbook. He drones on about Andy's devotion to high school rituals and why she would pay $34.95 to commemorate what he regards as a shit year, as though he didn't also buy a yearbook like everyone does. I find that unlikely. It's a weird thing to say. Andy flips to a page she marked, which features a shot of Pacey and Dawson grinning together. And she's pointing at that, so I totally didn't even notice until you pointed it out. There's also a shot on that page of someone we loved and miss.
Yeah, Principal Green. Mm-hmm. It's actually a really well done, like, this is a very yearbooky shot
yes.
of the principal to use, of him sort of like leaning over and pointing at something, and then mm-hmm. they're caught in mid whatever edit on yep. their giant chunky i286 computer. I was like, oh, I miss that guy. And also, that is a good yearbook photo. That is mm-hmm. exactly what you would have in the Minute Man.
Totally. Dawson doesn't notice Principal Green either and comments on Andy's lack of subtlety. She ignores that and tells Dawson about Pacey's macho adventure, and Dawson snits, good for him, without looking up. Andy says they're having a picnic send-off for Pacey tomorrow night. Clip 10.
Tomorrow night's rehearsal dinner, so even if I wanted to go, which I don't.
All right. God, we got it. You fucking bitch. Yeah.
Just say no thanks.
Yeah.
What?
You don't have to make this her problem just because she yeah. has tried to heal something. Andy tells him that one of them has to make the first move. Dawson says it won't be him and it won't be tomorrow night. And this makes Andy cry. She's not over the pain of this either, she says. Clip 11.
Letting go isn't a one-time thing. Something that you have to do over and over again every day.
It's not a believable insight from someone that age, I don't think, but it's pretty good. Like, it was a good mm-hmm. line.
I agree.
Sort of typifies, like, even when they sort of hit something right on the sweet spot, it's for someone who's 33.
Right.
And not 17. Anyway.
Well, Meredith Monroe is 33, so that tracks.
I was thinking it, but I chose not to say it this one time because her hair didn't look as deranged, so I thought I would let it go.
The hair looks good. The shirt and the overalls, I'm a little more iffy on, but, you know.
Yeah, well...
I also wish Andy would be less involved in her ex's friendship with the shittiest kid in her town, but we can't have everything. Dawson is apparently unconvinced by Andy, so she just trudges out with her yearbook. And Joey is driving into town when Doug abuses his power to pull her over. She irritatedly goes along with all the usual theater, calling him on it when he claims he clocked her speed, so he has to admit it was a visual assessment. And even then, he doesn't claim she was going over the speed limit and lets her off with a warning, which is that Pacey's getting ready to leave town for the summer. And smash cut to Joey loitering outside the store when Pacey comes out with groceries. Clip 12.
This is your solution?
What are you talking about?
You're leaving.
Uh-huh.
Just when things get tough, you're going to pack up and leave.
Oh, that's a general idea, yeah.
Oh, real mature, Pacey.
Well, what do you want me to do? Sit around all summer and watch from afar as you and Dawson attempt to resuscitate your ailing relationship? No thanks.
Well, I expected you to at least say goodbye.
Oh, yeah, the goodbye scene. Played that one over 1,000 times in my head. I come to you heart in hand and announce my plans. You look at me pained, but then, of course, the Potter sarcasm kicks in and I leave never getting what I came for.
What is that, Pacey?
You never asked me to stay. Ever.
That's not my decision.
Yes, it is. It always has been. You may be too afraid to make it, but let's be honest with each other here. The decision to be together or not be together has always been yours.
All I asked for was time.
And that's exactly what you got. You're going to get 3 more months of it.
You know, I may be undecided, Pacey, but at least I'm not running away. You can dress it up any way you want. Still comes down to the same thing. You're giving up.
I'm giving up.
Yeah, you.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Turn around.
He says turn around because they have arrived at her wall. Pacey says it's unfinished, just like them. And she also had a good observation of this big white patch on the wall, too.
There's just zero chance that that has been unmolested specifically by Matt Caulfield over all this time. I mean, yep. Granted, Matt Caulfield is now collecting Social Security, but that's not the point. And it also, it looked like an insert.
Mm-hmm.
the shot looked like an insert, like it was just weirdly lit. Anyway, yeah. It wasn't the same as the street scene set that they were on. It was just funny to me. Like, there's absolutely no way this stayed blank this whole time. With that said, he's making a lot of excellent points. It is really time that she got read for filth for letting Dawson run her like this.
Completely. She says this isn't the ending that she asked for. It's not what he wanted either, but it's what they got. And she just glares and wanders off. Then it's the wedding rehearsal. And suddenly the Dawson who was numb about his parents' relationship one episode ago is beaming proudly while Joey glares off to the side. Gail asks the minister to speed it up so she can go get ready for their party that night. And instead of saying, "Bitch, you asked me here," the minister cheerfully excuses them. So remember that when everyone misses their cues tomorrow. Just kidding. That doesn't happen. The adults leave and their attendants are left in their spots. Clip 13.
I haven't finished my best man speech yet. Any thoughts?
Oh, I don't think I have much to say about relationships these days, Dawson.
If someplace else you'd rather be, why don't you just go?
What are you talking about?
Do I have to spell it out for you? Pacey's going away party.
I'm here, aren't I?
Yeah, in body, but not in spirit. So you've got nothing positive to say. You're basically going through the motions with a scowl on your face.
Dawson, I'm doing the best I can. Can you cut me some slack?
Cut me some slack, Joey. Don't make me feel like this.
Like what?
Like you're stuck with me. All right, I don't deserve that.
You're right. You don't. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. He brought this on himself. He's basically saying, I'm going to emotionally manipulate you into doing what you want, and you have to act like you're thrilled about it. It's not enough for you to do it. You have to act like it was your idea. He's so bad.
Yeah, I don't deserve that. No, you deserve 10 times that.
Yeah.
At least she didn't say, well, you're neither best nor man, like I would have. Take the tiny W, giant head.
Take what you've brought for yourself. Take what you thought you wanted, because this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Flaring his nostrils, Dawson tells her to just go and give Pacey his best, but she resolutely says she's staying. And later, Dawson looks out from the house to see Joey moping alone on the dock. He and his huge pants flap out to join her and say Bessie wants her to stop by the store on the way home. Rude, by the way, that Bessie was not invited to the rehearsal dinner. It seems like she should be in that circle of friendship, but whatever.
Yeah, wouldn't Bodie have catered it anyway? Like, this all seems really weird.
That too. About this afternoon, Dawson says he doesn't want to fight. Joey doesn't either, and when she apologizes again, he gives her such a smug look, it makes me want to build a time machine just to go punch him. But if they're going to have an honest relationship, Joey says there's something he should know. Clip 14.
I broke things off with Pacey, not entirely, but in large part because I didn't want to lose you. I may have lived across the creek, but it was only when I was rowing in this direction that I actually felt like I was rowing home. I mean, you're so much of my life, Dawson. I mean, your house is my house, and your family is my family, and there's not a single significant event I've experienced that you haven't experienced with me, and I was so afraid of losing that. But that wasn't the choice. And if I thought that there was a chance that you would forgive me, I may have chosen differently. And you deserve to know that.
That is such a nicer way to put all of that than he deserves. Everything she said was like accurate and on point and exactly in line with what we've seen and what we've been saying. But the way that she sugarcoated it, like, he should be so grateful that she was that gentle about it.
The flip side of that being that allows him to, if he wants to, see past it. So to the part where she didn't choose differently and continue thinking that this is what he wants, even though in every single one of their scenes since he forced the issue, she's looked like she was about to projectile vomit into his face, which I'm a little sorry didn't happen. You're so right. Like, at least he can't say she didn't tell him the truth.
Right.
But it being Dawson, I can absolutely see him being like a Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance? Exactly. Like, no, bruh. Exactly. No, there's not.
So later, Joey's in town carrying her groceries when she suddenly freezes because someone has written, "Ask me to stay," in huge block capitals on the wall. But we simply cannot know who. Just kidding. Clip 15.
What took you so long?
Stares me like a stranger. I'm learning how.
I got thirsty. I called Bessie. Bessie called you. I tell you, it is not easy work finishing things off.
Pacey, what does this mean?
Well, it means you were right. That my leaving would be giving up on you. And I'm not quite prepared to do that just yet. But it also means that I need to know that you're not quite prepared to give up on me yet either. So, all that being said, I refer to the wall with its hastily yet adoringly written SOS, which I guess kind of speaks for itself. I spent an hour and a half staring at this half-painted wall after we talked last night. Just staring and thinking. So, the way I figure it, it's your turn to stare now.
Damn!
Although, this is one of those scenes that puts me back in mind of the idea that, like, I understand why she would be into him, but it becomes more and more remote why he would be into her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's always just this either making melted wax faces or spluttering at him that he can't just whatever it is. And mm-hmm. it's like, I understand that the pants want what they want at that age. And I'm not saying I was making great choices then either, or that they weren't maybe premised around Max drama, but it's like, dude,
yeah,
why? Like, she actually did pick Dawson because she's afraid of what will happen if she doesn't. Like, do you want any part of that? Get right on your boat and leave. Do it now.
Yes, there's the recent stuff, but there's also, like, it's been so long since she's been the character who, like, snuck them into Andy's hospital or, you know, took dance lessons with him or did anything like fun. She's just been stuck in this mode of like the choice for so many episodes in a row that at a certain point you think you'd be like, you know what, this is not worth it.
You know. Yeah, like it's all moping. That's all it is.
Yes. After the commercial, speaking of moping, it's the re-wedding. Dawson and Joey are both squinting against the sun, but he's wearing his usual expression of bland contentment while she looks like she might be, as you said, about to barf. And Gail and Mitch are there as well. Clip 16.
I loved you before I knew you. I will love you for all eternity. For you are my beloved Mitch. You're my best friend.
Oh, Gail, don't put ideas in his head. Dawson, in this case, not Mitch.
If some best friend should have told you to put on a brassiere, I understand it's your wedding and you've done this before, but like, the chicken was so done, guys. It's in the visual aids.
Joey manages to smile at this, but just before Mitch starts repeating the vows to Gail, Dawson's expression darkens. Joey notices the change and her face starts to droop too. And then they're married again. Bessie and Bodie at least got invited to the wedding, as we see them right up front. Joey and Dawson are about to walk off the weird yard deck, which maybe this is what it was always built for, when they both spot Pacey at the same time. And Joey and Dawson both manage to maintain decorum, possibly because the photographer is shooting them. Later, Joey's leaning on an arch as Pacey glares down at her from the porch. Slowly enough that it seems like she might be trying not to seem purposeful, she wanders over to him and babbles that she can't give him a reason to stay. He interrupts her by gently putting his hands on her shoulders and says, right there, she made her choice. She guesses she did. He jokes that she should have made it months ago and saved them all the time, energy, and heartache they've gone through, which is when Dawson comes out to do what he always does, make things worse. Clip 17.
See all members of the Triangle Prison accounted for?
Can I have this camera? Go take some pictures.
Joe. I don't even get a goodbye.
Goodbye, Pacey.
Just just wondering. What the hell are you doing here?
Ease up, man. I'm here for the wedding.
Last I heard, you were sailing the seven seas.
As indeed I am. Tomorrow. Today I'm here for your parents.
Well, I'll be sure to pass on your congratulations.
Yeah, speaking of congratulations, I guess I should be passing some on to you.
What are you talking about?
Well, she made her choice, Dawson. You're in. You got what you wanted. Things are never going to be the same between us, are they?
No.
Oh, no.
Good. Since that's true, why don't you just go ahead and kick him in the dick?
Yeah.
With the thanks of a grateful nation. Like, oh, God. That smug little, like, mm-hmm. I hate Dawson so much. I hate him so much.
He's really bad. Also, go to the visual aids for several shots from this scene, but including a gif of the flick of an eye that Joey gives to Dawson after Pacey asks no goodbye. She checks with him first before she says goodbye. It's like subtle, but a very good detail to have included in the edit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also lots of shots of Dawson just scowling at his former friend. This fucking shithead. Anyway, Jealous is playing when we find Joey and Dawson on the dance floor. Bad choice for a wedding playlist, but
yeah,
would have stayed if you wanted is pretty perfect for the situation. We're all in. Clip 18.
And I used to be able to look in your eyes and know everything you were thinking. These days, I haven't a clue.
It's just thinking about this summer. How much there's gonna be to do. And, I mean, we didn't get a chance to spend last summer together, you and I. We're gonna have a lot to catch up on. I mean, there'll be, you know, water skiing with your dad, and 4th of July on Walduck Island, and, you know, we could even go into Boston for a weekend. That would be fun.
Oh, my God.
It's brutal. She just looks like she's it's taking every bit of strength she has not to burst just into tears.
Yeah. First, I'm going to eat a razor blade.
Right.
I mean, it's really nicely acted like that. Mm-hmm. Just like, if I can get through the next couple of clauses without sobbing, maybe I won't die.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Even he can read this face, and he doesn't seem convinced as Joey tries not to weep openly, and Sinead sings that you don't think about anyone's feelings but your own. And oh God, then we're reminded, someone let Dawson give a speech. Clip 19.
The first time my parents got married, they were very young. They were just out of college. And I remember looking at the photo album as a kid, wondering why I wasn't in any of the pictures.
Well, that fucking tracks. But he's not done. Clip 20.
It's hard when you love someone that much to imagine them having this entire life that you weren't even there for. And I have to say that being here today, experiencing this firsthand, finally getting to be in all the pictures, I wouldn't trade this for anything. Because I'd much rather be a part of what you guys have now than what you had then. That point where everything is forgiven. And I think that's what love really means. That you can forgive anything. So, to my parents, who taught me that love does not conquer all, that love ends and begins again.
Shut up, Virgin. Truly. Like, it's only hard for you to imagine, Dawson.
Oh my God.
You really can't, like, imagine that the writers didn't know. Like, they're just setting him up for such a tumble that that part is kind of enjoyable, but he's so hateful on the way. It's really kind of amazing.
It's true. And I guess they're going for this parallel between Dawson is seeing that his parents rekindled their love after they fell apart. So it's making him believe that he could do it with Joey as well. But they're forgetting the part where he was pissed off about that for most of season two, because he was so he was disappointed that they were so confusing and not centering him in all of their decisions. It's like there's no way to rescue this. He just sucks. He just sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And after the commercial, it's time. Dawson is standing alone on the dock when Joey wanders up to say his speech was beautiful. By the way, did Joey get to give a speech as maid of honor? Who cares, I guess. But Dawson faintly thanks her, panting. Clip 21.
What you said? Did you mean it, Dawson?
Every word. Which is why you should turn around and go. To Pacey.
What?
Last year you had the opportunity to go to Paris and study, and because of me you didn't.
Listen, that wasn't your fault.
Yes, it was my fault, because I should have made you go. But I was selfish, and I didn't want you to go. I wanted you to stay here with me. And I refused to make that mistake again.
Well, Dawson, I mean, what if it's my choice? I mean, what if I want to stay?
Joey, come on.
Thank you. It's the most relatable he's been in the whole episode, Joey.
Yeah, really, Jesus.
Come on. No one thinks that.
Yeah. I mean, but the entitlement is just amazing.
Well.
He's like, I have ultimate control. I'm the puppet master of your life. Like, he's not totally wrong, unfortunately, because she allows it. But anyway.
Well, there's more, of course. Clip 22. What? 22?
2012?
Clip 22.
Even I can see it. Pacey's this year's Paris.
Fuck you.
And this time, you have to go. You have to see for yourself, all right? I can stand here and tell you that it's a colossal mistake and that all roads lead back to me, but that's not going to make any bit of difference. Words and speeches sound great, but they don't add up to anything. All that matters right now is what you want.
I don't even know what I want, Dawson.
Yes, you do. You want him. You want him like I want you. You love him like I love you. Well, the difference is he loves you back the same way. And you deserve that. Okay? And I'm not going to be the one who stands in the way of you getting that. You're free. You can do whatever you want.
To your point earlier, him thinking that is his right to dictate is what's wrong with the show, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're still not done. Clip 23.
No. But Dawson, I want us to still be friends, and I want to know that you don't hate me.
Just words, Joey. Just words. Because after you're done dispensing your pleasantries here, you're going to turn around and you're going to walk away from me. Aren't you?
I have two other ways I'll never know.
Just go.
But Dawson...
Joey, go. I'm telling you, before I take it all back, all right? Just go. Go.
Yeah, go. Because he doesn't get to take it back.
No.
Fuck.
Ugh. First. But she doesn't wait. This time she does turn around and run, and that's when we get crying Dawson, and it's in the visual aids. Of course it is. You've seen it before. This version is mine, so I'm very proud of it. And as all the wedding guests are waving off the happy couple, Joey runs through the party crying. This is when Grams and Jen get back, and so again, they drove all night to get to the bus. Then they drove from the bus, maybe most of the way to Ohio, back to Boston, and then back again to Cape Side. And based on the light in May, it's like maybe 7 p.m. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jen looks from Joey hauling ass to Dawson just as his legs give out on the dock. And it's so funny. I totally forgot the detail where he like collapses.
Oh my so God. Good. Into his own pants. Like, yeah, well, looks good on you, weirdo.
Also, good timing for Mitch and Gail to fucking blow town and miss whatever kind of spectacle their idiot son is about to make of himself over this. Bye! Good luck!
Crazy like foxes, those two. Well done.
And when we cut back to him, Dawson is stalking through the empty yard. Still light out, by the way. Everyone's gone. Up the stairs in the empty house and into his bedroom. Which is not empty. It turns out Jack, Jen, and Andy are being much better friends than he deserves as his pick-me-up posse. Dawson tries to get rid of them so he can feel sorry for himself, but they refuse to leave. Clip 24.
Yeah, I think that the words, I want to be alone right now, are used far too often around here. Kind of ranks right up there with, can we talk?
Yeah, and there's those countless references towards all things Freud and Spielberg.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it. We're not in Cape Side anymore, Toto. This is some alternate reality where our intellects are sharper, our quips are wittier, and our hearts are repeatedly broken while faintly in the background some soon-to-be-out-of-date contempo pop music plays.
So why does it hurt so much?
Because our pain makes us real, Dawson. But we can't do it alone. None of us can.
Okay. Was this like comforting lines of dialogue in the like lottery wheel that Yolanda Vega used to turn? Like, what? This is really garbagey. Also, it's Dawson.
Well,
just let him drown in a puddle of his own tears. Who cares? He sucks.
Tears and pants. Yes. But Dawson not only relents, he actually asks them about themselves. It's a goddamn miracle. And then we're at the marina. Joey was so hell-bent on catching Pacey before he left that she went home and changed and then ran up to the true love, screaming his name. She has climbed on deck onto the boat and is looking for him when Pacey casually comes around the corner. And clip 25.
You want something, Joe?
I want to talk to you.
No, a bit late for this now. I'm leaving. You can't stop me, so don't even try.
That's not why I'm here.
So why are you here? You want to say goodbye again? Maybe you wanted to rub it in a little bit, huh?
Look, I don't want to stop you, Pacey. And I don't want to stop Dawson. And I don't want to be stopped. Not by either of you. Not by anyone, see? I mean, that's what this whole year has been about. We've been trying to stop each other from moving on and from growing up. But not you. I mean, you're different. And you've challenged me every step of the way. And you've been there every step of the way.
Joe? Departure time is in T-minus 30 seconds, so if there's a point, I suggest you get to it.
I think I'm in love with you.
You think or you know?
I know. Known it since the moment you kissed me, and maybe even before that. And scary as it is, I don't want to deny it anymore, Pacey. I don't want to run from it, and I don't want to let it run from me.
The unfortunate turn of phrase makes it seem like she has diarrhea, but whatever. Pacey asks what they're gonna do, and Joey blurts that she wants to come with him. Clip 26.
What about Bessie and the B&B? They need you.
Not as much as I need you, Pacey.
Pacey's like, well, I put in a lot of hours fixing it up, but I guess I'll just go fuck myself. Just kidding. He looks like he's not sure if he's dreaming. She takes a step toward the boat and clip 27.
Permission to come aboard.
They can make him wise. They can drive. Permission granted.
Finally.
Finally. So they kiss. You'll see this in the visual aids, but at the end of it, he like holds her face in his hands so tight that he's like squishing in her cheeks and she's smiling so hard. It's really cute.
It's so cute. And it's the first time that we've seen her teeth in like months. It's seriously such a relief.
It really is. There's some talk about her next change of clothes and how long it will be until they hit their first port, but we can pretend the episode ended where it should have before we get a weirdly ambiguous shot of Joey's face as they pull away from the marina that, spoiler, turns out to portend nothing, but is strange. But, you know, it all works out. That's your spoiler for the season 4 premiere. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to close out the season with our episode and season MVP and LVP. Let's start with the episode MVP. Sarah, who's your pick?
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with Angry McPhee.
I like that.
He really stepped up.
He came a very long way, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
In order to avoid any of the main ones, I'll say Grams. Who knew she had stunt driving experience, but she really took them there.
Yeah. Well, and especially since she forced the issue, and as we know in advance, mm-hmm. that will be the end of it. Like, she lanced that boil. Thank you, Grams.
Yeah. Least valuable player for the episode. Unfortunately, it just has to be Dawson. He's such a turd. I mean, he turns it around at the very end, but still, such an asshole.
Yeah, that. I mean, does he? Well, does he, like, clearly expects that he thinks there's a way better than zero chance that she won't go? So, yeah, Dawson, easily.
Moving on to the season MVP. I'm going to say Joshua Jackson. He really had to do a lot of extremely heavy lifting, and this whole storyline would not work if he was not as good at it as he is.
I mean, there's also the fact that the alternative is absolutely wretched. So, I'm comfortable with that, I guess. I could say Grams, but I think she encouraged a lot of nonsense with Henry. So, let's say Joshua Jackson.
Least valuable player for the season. Well, I've already said Dawson once, so I don't want to say it again. He is certainly the worst, but I'm going to give a dishonorable mention to Henry. What a blah character. He really added nothing.
Actually, like that whole four horsemen of the boar apocalypse, Henry, Krudsky, what's his nuts, who Joey was dating for a hot second, and Eve. Actually, let's throw her in there as well.
Yep.
But, I mean, really, it's Dawson. Fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Next time on Again With This, it's the call-in show. If you are listening to this the day it drops, you do still have time to call or text us at 210-767-2237. We cannot wait to answer your questions, hear your rants, and would you rather ourselves into an early grave? In the meantime, you could find the visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This at our website, againwiththispodcast.com. You don't want to wait to check that out, so don't. I am inexplicable teenage maid of honor, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Siddhartha of Contention, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, wasn't in any of the pictures. Talk to you next time. Nostrils McGee is going to be on the rampage. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, season 3. We did it.